of Calvary Chapel of Twin Tiers. Why are we here? So I want to take you through what I think is why we're here. Oops. If you look at this, this is kind of how some churches function, and they say, welcome to church, and they ask you to go through the door and into the maze. And that's how I feel sometimes here, is that we've got this maze set up, and we need to reorganize it, you know, that it makes sense, you know, because have you ever been to a corn maze and gotten lost in a corn maze, and it takes you a while to get out of that corn maze? The kids love it, right? It's exciting and stuff. But from accomplishing something to get to that end point, you don't want to have this maze. So I want you to be on the same page with me. I want you to have an expectation as we go, you know, go out into the missions here in Elmira. So, and somebody might look at this and say, really? You know, don't you have any? Like, what are you doing for missions, and what are you doing as far as children, and go, what's your vision for the teens, right? So often we look at our teen ministry, right, and we say we don't have one, but we have one. You know why? We got two teens, right? We got one teen, it would be enough, but we got two, right? So we gotta be focused where we set. We don't look at numbers. We don't look at numbers and say this is why we do it. We look at the Lord and we say that's why we do it. Right? He identifies what we're to do, and we step out in that. So we don't want it to be confusing. So our mission should be simple. It should be practical, and it should be inspired. So when we look at a mission statement, and I'm going to take you through a little bit here, and hopefully it doesn't bore you to death, but when you look at any company, any good company out there that we know that's been around for a while, always understands where it's going. We certainly don't work the same as a company or a corporation or other organizations. We work by the Spirit of the Lord, right? And sometimes even though we don't necessarily have it pointed out in our mission or pointed out in our vision, sometimes the Lord comes along and gives us extra vision for certain things, right? And so we look at those things and we say, is this of the Lord? Lord, do you want us to do this? It doesn't quite coincide with our vision, but if you want us to do it, let's do it. But I want you to take a look at a couple companies that I saw out there that have missions, right? They always have a key market, who they're selling to, right? We're not selling to anybody. The good thing, we're giving, right? We're giving. The Lord gives, and He also takes away, but He does give. There's certain contribution that we'll make, right? Or they'll make. Right? You don't just go to the car dealer and say, I want to give you my money for nothing, right? You want a car. You have an expectation that. So when we come to church, what's our expectation? Our expectation is, let's hear from the Lord, right? We have that expectation, and it should be upheld. So when you come here, this is obviously abnormal today, right, as I'm sharing this, though there's a lot of scripture in here to support what I've done. But normally when you come, you better walk out of here with some meat and potatoes, right? Not just from the agape meal, but from just coming, right? That's what we want to do. And then it has to be distinct, right? Whoops. It has to be distinct, and it aims the organization. There's some stakeholders, there's some folks that are involved, like the congregation, that are involved. And then how does the organization provide that value, or how does this church provide value to this community that we sit in, right, that we stand in? And ultimately, we got to ask this question, why do we exist? Because if there isn't a distinction between us and anybody else out there, why do we exist? Why are we another church in the community? Because let's go find another church and mingle in with them. If we're the same, right? But as you'll see, Calvary is very word-focused, and that's our distinction, really, is that we're word-focused. So here's McDonald's, right? Everybody knows McDonald's, right? But this is their mission statement: to provide fast food customer food prepared in the same high quality manner. And when I was reading this, I was like, really high quality? Okay, this is their mission. Manner worldwide that is tasty, reasonable price, and delivered consistently in a low-key decor and friendly atmosphere. Right? Kids love it, right? It's friendly. Friendly meals and all that stuff. And so they satisfy them three things that I talked about. They understood their market. They understood who they're serving. They understood what they're contributing to it. You know, the high quality, you know. And they, it's fun, not to, it's hard not to laugh through that. But, and then they knew their distinction, that low-key decor and that friendly atmosphere, in a sense, right? Marriott hotels, to provide economic quality, right, to minded travelers. So they want to focus on these folks that want high quality for a low price, right? They understood their focus. Moderate priced hotels, clean, comfortable. If you've ever been in a Marriott, you can say what you want about them, but they're clean, right? They understand what they're contributing. Their distinction is that they're clean, they're comfortable, they're well maintained. You walk in, the doors don't squeak. You know, it doesn't smell like an ashtray, right? There's things about it that's nice, right? It's friendly. And the people are great. So here's ours, and this is what I think ours is. To equip the believers. Number one, to equip the believers. To get them ready. Why do we equip? Why do we get equipped for anything, right? If we go to war, why do we take guns with us? Why do we take ammo with us? To fight the battle, right? So we're to equip believers with the entire counsel of the Lord. We don't want to skip over anything. So one of the common things in a Calvary, right, is to go word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. So it's for the advantage. What's the advantage of that? It gets the whole counsel of God. It tells the whole story, beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. Which will do these few things here. It will encourage application of the word, right? We don't want anybody to take their Bibles and set them up on it. They go to church, the Bible off, and then they come to church, and when they go home, they put it on that same old shelf that they put it on for years. We don't want that. We want application of the word. We want you to leave here with application. So when we teach, we should have application in our messages, right? Discipleship. This is to build people up. So you've come for a while, and there's to walk with the Lord, right? There's certain disciplines that we need to, as we're His disciple, to be discipled into, to learn and understand what the Word means. And then there's obviously new life in Christ. We want to see people get saved. You know, we want to see the community affected. We want to see people. And that's why we do certain things that we do. And underlying all this is to bring Him glory, right? Is to bring God the glory, to give Him everything. It's all due His name, right? So that's kind of what I think our mission statement is. But beyond a mission is a vision, right? And Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish. The people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So, we need vision. We need to understand how we do this. How do we do this? So this is all good. This whole mission statement and stuff, it looks good. It looks probably somewhat good as far as content goes. But how do we do it? How do we fulfill the mission? You know, how do we get to to actually play out the mission? And so, the first one, remember, we said one of the thing that we're here to do is to glorify God. Right? That is the one thing that we can say. If anybody asks you, right, anyone asks you about your church here at Calvary Chapel, Twin Tiers, you can say, they say, well, what are you about? And they say, you know, I don't have long, but I just want to know what you're about. And you could say, we're there to glorify God. Right? That would sum it up in a couple words. The scripture here, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, you know, we do things, right? We end up doing things because we want to do this. We want to glorify Him that is in heaven. We just don't have good works. Our good works are certainly part of His grace that saved us, and then it's a byproduct of that, and that they're to glorify Him. So whatever we do, we can't take credit for ourselves, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul would say, by the mercies of God, and that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're to be a living sacrifice. And we've said this before, right? It's kind of, when we look at living sacrifice, we think, well, how can a sacrifice is dead? But here it says we're living. We're supposed to be a dead. We're supposed to be dead to ourselves, but we're supposed to be living in Christ. And that's how we're to be usable for the Lord and to bring Him glory. So how does glorified God look? It brings attention to the Lord. Right? If we're going to glorify the Lord, what we do here at Calvary is that we want to bring attention to the Lord. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So if we're the body of Christ, people should be looking at us. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Right? And so we can't be hiding in our church pews. We can't be hiding in our secret places. But we got to be amongst the people of the city. We got to be in such a position that we're on that hill to bring attention to Him. And we got to walk in integrity. Walk in integrity. It says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Something about, you know, somebody knowing that what you say is what you say is actually what you mean, and what you say is actually what you do. It brings light, and it also points to the glory of the Lord. It gives the Lord glory. When we are in our communities, as people look at us as upright and honest. And I think that's what we need to be. We need to be upright and honest in everything. We don't want to take shortcuts. You know, when we're doing things, you know, I was just thinking this as I was up there and we were doing that bathroom, and I was doing a little painting. You know, Ross did all the mechanics and stuff, and I went back in and I did a little painting here and there and did some touch up, right? I was going around doing the trim on the floor. And every once in a while, human nature, you spill a little paint on the floor, right? And there was one time when I go, well, nobody can really see that. Nobody can really see that paint over there that I spilled on the floor because it was kind of behind the toilet. But I said, you know what? I need to clean that up. Why? Because I don't think we should take shortcuts. Even though people can't see it, doesn't mean that we should take the shortcut, right? So when we're doing some of the remodeling work in here, we're going to do things to code. We're going to do things accordingly. We're going to do things upright and honest. If we need a permit to do certain things, we're going to have to go get the permit. That's all there is to it. We don't close the shades. We don't do the work. And then hope nobody sees and nobody catches us. That's what the world does. We want to live in integrity. So I want to have the church run in that way too. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, to him to whom we must give account. You know, God can see everything. There's nothing hidden from him. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to pretend to hide. I don't want to pretend that something's true and it's not. We want to be upright and honest with everybody, whether it's with each other or with a community, right? We want to be upright and we want to be honest. For example, I think one of the things that I see us doing in the future is sharing our finances, right? I want you guys to know where things are allocating. You give, you should know, right? You don't necessarily always have the decision of where that money goes. We should know that it's not going for foolishness, right? That it's not going for, Fred's new shutout back or anything like that, right? You should know those things, right? You should know how much we're providing for missions and all that. You should know who we're providing money to and why we're doing it and how we're making them accountable as we are accountable to the Lord. So we want to make sure that everything's up and up. There's nothing hidden from the Lord's eyes or yours. And also to be good stewards, right? The Lord is so gracious to us. So gracious. Did you look around? Did you look around to see how gracious He is? How gracious He is in giving us a building to meet in, to worship Him, to glorify Him? And I think of Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, right? So often when the Lord gives us something, sometimes we just hold on to it. We say, oh boy, but it's so precious, we don't want to give it away. We can do that with finances, can't we? We can save to the nth and then all of a sudden we've got all this money. But what good does it do us? I'm not taking it to glory with me, right? I want to spend every bit here. And I want to spend it on the right purpose and the right reason. I want to invest, right? Why was Jesus upset at that one that didn't take his talents and do something with us? Did he bury him? Why was he upset? Because he wasn't investing it. And there was a practical application here for the church is that we need to be taking our funds and investing them in people's lives. I don't want to see the Lord someday and have Him say, you know what, I wish you had done this better as far as giving to the poor. I wish you had given more to missions. And I wish your church had done this. It's not based on my salvation, you see, but it's based on my loyalty to the Lord. It's based on my love for the Lord. I want to do everything that pleases Him. Right? We should be like that in church and out of church, but we should want to have what the Lord gives us. We want to take advantage of that and use it for His glory. Right? He's given us this big building. Right? He's given us this big building. We're not that big, folks, but He's given it to us. So why is that? Maybe He's got something planned. I'm not quite sure, but I'm praying about a couple things. You know? But I want to be a good steward of that. Also, when we invest, are we having an eternal impact on people's lives? Are we really impacting them? Or are we just giving? This is the tendency of the church. The church has so much, and I'll get to it, because we have a goal of about 10% missions, right? I like the idea of even having a more of a healthier goal of that. I like missions. I think it's one way for us to touch the world without even going anywhere, you know. But when we give commissions, we write a check and we put it in the mail. We might never see it again, never hear from them people again. Is that really what we want? No, we want to be participants. We want to be participants in the mission that we're supporting. We don't want to just send money to people and pray, Lord. I hope they're not, I hope they're not using it for human trafficking or something, right? Because you might laugh, but that happens. Churches give, and they never follow up, and they never figure out that their money isn't really being used for anything. I remember a friend of mine saying he was given to this one missionary, and he would receive letters from them, and the letters at first obviously were, wow, we're ministering to this people, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But as the time wore on, the mission started not to become a mission. It became a permanent vacation. And he would tell about beaches and stuff. And finally, the pastor said, we're not doing this anymore. You know? But that's how picky we have to be, because we have so much resources, right? And we want them allocated to the right things, the things that the Lord says to put them. We want to be good stewards in that. And I think the idea here is we want to do the best with those resources we possibly can to support the message of Christ for eternity, right? And then take care of the blessings. This church is a blessing to us. It really is. The Baptists have been overly gracious with us on how much this cost and how much we pay them a month and interest and all that stuff that they don't charge us. It's been great. Right? But we got to take care of it. We can't think that the dust is just going to vaporize from this church. It's a big place and it gets dirty, right? So we have to take care of it. Some of the for instance, even Friday, right? We had a brother of mine who came down and did came down from Rochester and did the furnace. Invested his time and money into it and blessed us with it, right? Got it running. It's all ready to go. It's good for the season, right? What a blessing. But we got to take care of it, right? Because the Lord continues to bless us, continues to pay the bills here. We need to take care of it. So you see some of the things that, I mean, the bathroom upstairs on the second floor is just the tip of the iceberg to me. It's a start. It's to get some newness in here, to freshen things up a little bit, to get some cleanliness, to get things picked up a little bit. And we're going to do some more things. The bathrooms downstairs aren't in real good order. We're going to do those over again. We're going to put a bathroom on this level so that we have something that is handicap accessible. And we're gonna get this portion in here kind of cleaned up. And I got some thoughts on that, you know. I would appreciate it if anybody has any other thoughts on this area out here, but I'd like to open that area up for the sake of fellowship. Because let's face it, downstairs has a couple things that are tough, right? It's tough to get down those stairs if you're not able, is number one. The other thing, it's very loud. It's very loud. It's a great gym, but it's very loud. And for us to fellowship as God would have us fellowship. And when I say fellowship, I don't mean coffee and donuts. You know that. I mean fellowship. I mean, you know what? Pastor Fred was talking about this, or Pastor Bob was talking about this morning. And gee, you know, I was thinking about this. And I was wondering, you know, the Lord spoke to me on this scripture. Have you ever seen this? That's fellowship. That's really what fellowship is. Fellowship isn't coffee and donuts. It's not cookies and creams. So I want to spruce up a little bit around here, and I want to take care of what the Lord has given us, the stuff that the Lord has given us. Also, he calls us to be servants. So servants of all, it says in Mark here, it says, and he sat down, called the 12 disciples, and said to to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. We're to serve. And, you know, many places when we look at that word servant, really means slave. It comes down to it where Paul said that I am the Lord's bond slave, bond servant, I mean, meaning slave. I'm reporting to him. I'm answering to him. I'm doing exactly what he says. We are to be slaves, and we are to demonstrate this in service. We are to demonstrate servanthood around here, right? We have many ways you can serve around here. You don't have to just, you know, some guys go, man, I'm not a teacher. I don't want to teach. You know, I know that's not my gift. Right? That's fine. The body of Christ has many functionalities, right? That's how we fit together. That's how we do things. But there's the cleaning that we have to do around here, right? And anybody can do that. I know that. So if you want to be servant, be a servant of all. You don't want to, you know, does Pastor Fred clean the church? Absolutely. I do. You know why I clean the church? Because I don't think I'm above anybody else here. That's not how I work. The Lord says, you want to be first in my kingdom? Be last. You know, and so I encourage you to get involved in the little things. Two, that brings about fellowship as well. Mark 10 would say, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So if Jesus is our example, if he was our example and is our example, and we are always running around saying we want to be more and more Christ-like, well, be more servant focused. Be serving in some way. You know, there's always a way, there's always an avenue. You know, pray on it. Pray, Lord, what would you have me do? Because so often people say, I'm so inadequate to be a servant here or there, right? But ask the Lord, where can I fit in here, Lord? Because we want you to fit in. We want you to be with us in this. So Jesus, obviously, the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is with us always to the end of the age. We don't have to fear that. But he tells us to go. And he tells us to make disciples in all nations, which is pretty broad, isn't it? Right? And it gives us it can give us a vision for here. It can give us a vision for abroad. It helps us to see that God is concerned about the nations. He's concerned about the world, right? That's why he came and made disciples. How does this look? Well, first of all, I know when people say share your faith, they always think ahead a little bit. They think, how can I ever share the gospel with somebody? How can I ever be that evangelist? Well, I don't think that's what he's asking you. I think the first question he asks you is, are you willing? Are you available? So I think the first thing that we have to be is available. Isaiah would say, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me, right? If you look at Jeremiah, Isaiah, Moses, they weren't exceptional. They were just willing, right? So I think the first thing in sharing our faith with others is that we have to be available. And we have to determine, too, that this is not a passive thing that we do. We don't just go and lay some tracks on the table and run. This is very active. This is very active. This takes some time. It takes some, maybe some creativity to go and say, what am I going to say if somebody asks me about this? What am I going to say? So there's some preparation in our hearts that we have to go through in order to be ready, to be willing, to be ready to share the gospel. So it's not a passive thing. So the things that where we can do it, we can reach our community through our home, obviously, our work, our neighborhoods. So often today when we look at our neighborhoods, I remember when I grew up as a youngster, right? Everybody knew their neighbor, you know? I remember, we were almost so intimate. We knew each other's stuff, what was going on. Not in a nosy way, but we just knew Fred was doing this. And, you know, my neighbor George, he was a character. I remember Karen came home one break with me to my house, and I was walking down the road with her, and we happened to be walking by George's house. Afterwards, George came up to me and said, "Who was that you were walking with?" And I said, "Well, she's just a friend, you know, that kind of thing." And he would say, "Are you taking a liking to her?" You know. But we knew our neighbors. Today we don't know our neighbors necessarily. It takes a while because people are a little more nervous here. You know, things have changed a little bit. Get to know your neighbors. Show them the love of Christ. Show them that you're different. That's how you can do it. That's how you can share it. Pretty unintimidating. Have somebody over, right, for a cup of coffee out on the deck. Say, "Hey, what do you think? What do you think about eternity? Ever think about dying? Ever think of maybe where you might go?" And they'll come at you with some answers. And you know what? The funny thing is you won't be able to answer some of the questions they answer. But if you go do some digging, you can go back to them and say, "This is what the Word says." Right? Don't be afraid to say, "You know what? I don't know." Because you know what? We don't know everything. We have to go ask the Lord and start digging. Some of the other things, right, we can do is street evangelism. I know people are scared to death of it. And you know what? People like to tell their stories to you. That's what I always think of it as. I go out on the street and I ask the question, you know, "So if you die today, where are you going to spend eternity?" "Oh, I don't believe in that," you know, or I say, "Well, what do you believe?" It might be some strange stuff, you know, might be some whacked out stuff, but just listen to them. They see that you listen. It opens their ears, right? All of a sudden, they're more receptive to you. They see you as a friend rather than an adversary, rather than somebody that's jamming something down their throat, you know. Organized outreaches, you know, when we look at the Octagon Fair, there's an opportunity. Even if you don't say one word, you could stand there, pass out a tract here and there, right? You don't need to say the words, right? I think it was Spurgeon that said, "Speak only if it's necessary," or something like that, you know. Sometimes we do more harm by speaking. You know, the crusade that we had just recently, and you know, there's things like the nursing home that I don't see anybody doing here. And, you know, we always used to do it up in Geneva. And, you know, the benefit of that you get from it is that you find this old soul that's in the nursing home and she just loves the Lord. And you share with her some things and she shares back with you her love for the Lord. And then you find this man that's 85 years old and he's a beautiful guy and he has this beautiful personality, and we saw this guy up in Geneva. His name was Cornelius, and my friend Bruce is going to come down here shortly and share on evangelism, actually. And we were talking with him, and Bruce led him to the Lord, you know, after we talked to him for a little while, and about 2 weeks later, he passed on. He went right to glory. 2 weeks knowing the Lord and he went right to glory. This guy was as sharp as a tack. You know, some people, you share the Lord with them and they're kind of out in their own little world. You know, they're 90-some years old and they're having a hard time grasping a lot of things, right? But you just knew this guy just knew it. He asked the questions. His mind was functioning, and it's just his physical body was giving way, right? But to go into those places, it doesn't fulfill the church pews. But see, we're not here to fill church pews. We're here to tell people about Jesus in every vehicle that we can. And these are just a few, right? Coffee houses are another thing where you get opportunities. They come in, they hear the music, they like what they hear. And then all of a sudden they say, the words are different. Wait a minute. Right? And you get into some discussions there. VBS, obviously, right? VBS, them little kiddos that come and just soak it in. You know, little kids are like sponges, right? They ask all the questions the adults are scared to ask about God, right? But it's a good thing to do. So missions, local, worldwide. You know, I don't look at missions as, I look at missions as worldwide, which includes local, right? I think we ought to support missions from coast to coast. But I also think we ought to support missions locally, right? We have some great missions. We've got the Pregnancy Resource Center, right? We got, Dave comes once in a while. There's prison ministries that are there. There's evangelism out on the street. Nothing's free, you know? There's outreaches that we do. We can always support that kind of thing. So from a local standpoint, we can do that. Worldwide, certainly want to support missions and missionaries. We have the six kids, right, from Gospel of Asia. Right? And matter of fact, in a few weeks, probably the next Agape, we're going to have a missionary, a guy from Finger Lakes that's going to come down and talk to us about North Uganda that the Lord's called him into. That's kind of a funny thing. His name's Tyler Gooden, you can pray for him. I talked to him yesterday about coming down, and I'm hoping that he can do it on that Agape, the next Agape, so you can mingle and talk with him, so you can learn about what his heart is in there. But pretty neat things going on in North Uganda. The funny thing about Tyler is that when the Finger Lakes asked me to pray about coming down here, he was one of the guys that they asked also to pray and come down, right? And so the Lord had different plans, right? I'm here and he's going to North Uganda. It's kind of a neat thing, you know. Gee, what if he came here and now he's leaving for Uganda, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, once the Lord straightened his mission out, you know. So it's kind of a neat thing to see. Support and participate, right? Our supports and missions, yes, we're going to give to missions. You can guarantee we're going to give to missions, whether locally or abroad. We're going to give to missions. But I want to participate in missions. For instance, we got these six kids, right? One of the ideas here is that we're going to write to these kids. The kids are going to write to kids, you know. Don't you enjoy writing letters? Don't you enjoy just, you know, the old-fashioned way where you just write a letter? Right? I love writing letters to my wife, writing her scripture, sticking them on the wall, you know. But we can encourage those that we're supporting in that. We can read through the letters, make sure they're giving us what we want them to give us, you know, or they're using our money for the right purposes, right, to glorify the Lord. And we want to give at least 10%. Like I said before, I think it's limitless. I think Bob was up here one day and he said, you know what, he wanted to challenge people in tithing. And he says, when the Lord, you know, he talked about the Lord convicting him about tithing and giving, and how that now he gives much more than 10%, because the Lord blesses. It's fun to see if you can help give to the Lord. You never can. But it's a challenge that we should have that, hey, you know, I'm just going to keep giving and the Lord bless us. So missions is very important to us. And then leading others in living for Jesus, making disciples, We talked about Matthew 28, getting the full counsel of God, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. 2 Timothy. So the word is important to us. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth passes, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. The word is God. Right? It is important that we know the word. It's important to us. So how do we lead others to Jesus? It's only through the word that we can do that. Right? The emphasis is on the word. So, the word. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word is I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." So, why do we want the word in our heart? It's to protect us from sin. Because God reveals things. Have you ever been in a situation where the Lord reveals a scripture to you? It's for your own good. He reveals that scripture because at some point you had taken that scripture and you hid it in your heart and it was there for you at the time that you needed it. So the word is important. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those who could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. I want you to notice one thing out of this verse, and that is, to those who understood, right? Those that understand. And I think it's important when we teach the word that we teach it completely and simply. One of the things that Pastor Chuck said to us, we asked Pastor Chuck here last year, if there is one thing that you could encourage us in, what would you encourage us? And he said, keep it simple, right? Just keep it simple. The gospel's simple, right? God died on the cross, rose again, gave us salvation. It's pretty simple, you know. Wiped out, you know, cleansed us from our sins, forgiven us. It's pretty simple. But make it understandable. And I think that's where our kids come into play. I think that we have to make it understandable to our kids. And that's why we do what we do here, right? We have big kids church and the littler kids church, right? You guys and the big kids like Mark and the little kids like Anthony, right? We have that because we want to bring the word out. When we say we want everybody to have the full counsel of God, we don't want the kids to grow up and leave and be a statistic that they left the church because they weren't well fed in Sunday school. Sunday school is not an optional place for a place to store away our kids, right? It's to teach our kids meat and potatoes in the portion that they can handle. Right? Allow them to pick it up and taste. You know, we go through, a half a chapter on a Sunday. One of the things that I've asked the teachers that teach Sunday school is to go through that. The same verses and stuff with the kids. But you got to make it chewable, right, to them. You know? You got to pick out a portion of that scripture that you can emphasize to them and have them understand it. It's important that they understand the scripture. That they understand it. And we gotta quit thinking that our children's ministry is secondary. Because it's not. It's not secondary. It's something that we prepare for and get ready for. You know, so me and Bob do the majority of the teaching, right? And it doesn't just happen. Well, for me it doesn't. For Bob it might just happen. I know different. But, you know, I've been teaching for long enough to know is that I need, the Lord calls us to show ourselves approved, right? So when he says study and show yourself approved. So we need to be studying the Word as teachers. And we always look at, well, yeah, that's, you know, somebody asked me, so how long do you spend in the Word to prepare a message? Right? My aim is about 8 hours in the Word just to prepare one message. Oh, really? Wow. Never knew that was that long. You know what the message for the kids should be? You know how much time you should spend in there? You want me to give you a number? It should be more than 5 minutes. And I think that's sometimes what we do. I know, because I used to teach Sunday school. I know that I sometimes didn't give it my full go. The Lord had to teach me. So I'm just taking some of the teaching time frame out for you. I'm just telling you, I want you to pray about it. And when you feed the sheep, the little sheep, the little lambs, make sure you spend enough time in the Word. Because this is not second. The teaching in the Sunday school is not second. It should be first, as well as teaching here. What we do for the Lord should always be first, right? Isaiah 28:10 says, for a precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. There a little, here a little, there a little. So, for us, you know, the style in which we go through the Scripture, we don't do a lot of topicals, right? And there's a purpose for that, because we want you to get every word. The other thing is that I don't want to come out here and look at Tom and go, I got the perfect message for Tom, right? This one, I've put this topical together, and it's just what Tom needs, and I come out and I preach to Tom because I know what's going on in his life. No, I preach what the Holy Spirit wants me to teach to you guys, right? That's why we do that way. It's so that we don't have any, there's nothing directed towards an individual. It's all through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directing us through the Word and allowing that person to be convicted of that. John 21:17, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. And I think that's what he says to us too. You know, especially as pastors, he says, do you love me, friend? Then you want to take the time and you want to feed the sheep. You want to give them good food. Good food. We need to invest. Making disciples doesn't just, somehow it just doesn't happen. We don't come in, we don't pour water on you. It's not some sort of sacrament that we do and all of a sudden now you're a disciple, right? It takes growth, it takes time, it takes effort. I think sometimes we need to have focused fellowship. What do I mean by that? I mean that our time of fellowship should be to build up, to encourage, to for edification, right? It shouldn't just to be a talk about what the world talks about. To lift us up. It's to encourage us in the Lord. It could be Bible studies, right? It could be Bible studies. It doesn't have to be just here, you know? You don't have to just come to church and take in what we feed you here. Have a Bible study. One of the things that we used to do in college is we used to have investigative Bible studies, right? And what it was that we said, hey, you know, we were mainly in the dormitories, so we'd say, hey Joe, hey Bob, you want to come over and I'm going to have a Bible study. You can ask me whatever questions you want. And it's a chance for them to get to know that you're real and allows them to see the Scriptures like they haven't seen them before. Open their eyes. But it takes time. It takes investment. And it takes prayer, right? If we're going to lead others in living for Jesus, it takes prayer. And again, this is not the next thing we do, but it's the first thing we do. It's a priority that we do. Jesus would say to his disciples when they came upon the boy that was possessed, right? He said, this doesn't happen only by prayer and fasting, right? And I think sometimes that is what we need to do. We need to pray and we need to fast for people. We need to take it serious if we want to see change in our community and in our church, right? In our church. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am here in the midst of them. So, there's opportunities for this, right? There's ladies' studies that always begin with prayer, right? And who knows, maybe one of them ladies' studies someday, the Lord will just say, we just need to pray. We need to have a prayer meeting tonight. You know, as the Holy Spirit leads, right? We look at this men's retreat that we're going to have. That is focused on prayer. Yeah, we're going to have some messages. I was telling Mark, it's going to be, and Ed went, he can testify, but there's going to probably be 3 or 4 messages during the whole thing. And they're going to be 20 to 30 minutes long. And the rest of it's going to be men praying. And last year us and Geneva got together and we just prayed for our churches. You know? And it's a time to seek the Lord. Say, hey, what do you want? What do you expect from us, Lord? But it's got to be a priority. And God works when we pray. God works. We're only here because of prayer. You know? Because we've went before the Lord and asked the Lord to bless this. And He has. Right? Encourage Bible application. It is our desire to encourage and exhort the church to apply the Word of God to our lives, to live for Jesus, to allow Him to change us into His image, to become servants to Him and to each other, and ultimately to be glorified by our lives. James would say, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Are you receiving the word? Receive His word, His implanted word. Are you implanting His word in your heart? Are you having devotions with Him? Are you praying with Him? Are you asking Him those questions that you need for His leading? And it says, but be doers of the word. Not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, today, there's a lot of Laodiceans. And we're living in it. We're living in Laodicea. And we're lukewarm. And we're not doing the word. We're hearing it, but we're not doing it. Don't you get frustrated when you say it over and over again to your kids, do this, do this, do this, and they don't seem to get it. But God gives us His whole word and He tells us to do it and we don't do it. Just an encouragement, don't let your Bibles be dusty old books, but a key to abundant life. Jesus would say, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. God wants abundancy in this church as well as our lives. He wants our outreaches to be abundant, you know. So how does it look? Life application in the scripture we study, right? So when we're teaching the word, we're given application. It's kind of the inductive way of doing it, right? You look at scripture, you interpret, and you apply. You look at scripture, you interpret, and you apply. Right, so there's some effort involved in that, right? We just don't take and read through the scripture and say that's enough. But we want to take the word and we want to apply it to our lives. So if we're giving you scripture and it doesn't have application to it, we need to go back and look at it again together and get application out of it. And also the encouragement here is to challenge the sheep. I hope the scripture pricks you once in a while. I hope that you're not settled, right? I hope you're not sleepy sheep, right? That the Lord wakes you up in His Word, wakes you up and challenges you to change. Remember the core is to glorify Him, right? We have to get further and further away from ourselves in order to do that. We have to die to ourselves. We have to be crucified, right? We have to die in order to glorify Him. And invite into application. Oh man, I don't want to bother you. That's kind of our excuse. Well, I don't want to bother so-and-so because they're probably busy. Now, sometimes we need to be invited into application. Don't be surprised if I might call you sometime and say, why don't you come out on the street with me, Tom? I'm picking on Tom a lot, you know. Mr. and Mrs. Snyder over here. Did you know that? But come out and evangelize. See how it's done. Might never do it again. But just to get application, let's go to the nursing home. I wasn't the first one to think about the nursing home. It was my friend Bruce. Hey, Fred, let's go into the nursing home. We can get in there. We can sing with them and teach them. Okay, here we go. And we got in there and really liked it. And they loved the kids, you know. That's the one thing. You can take kids along and the kids love meeting the older people. But it's inviting people into application, right? If we don't tell you enough to go out and do it, you'll never do it. You'll sit in the pews, right? And that's the problem that we have today, is that we've got a lot of pew sitters, right? And we don't want to be that church. We want to be somebody that's more active than passive. So if we look at, just to summarize, because I know it's drawn late and I appreciate you guys just taking the time. The main thing here is to glorify God, right? So if you remember that, to glorify God is the purpose of this church. That's it. And in that, we want to be Christ-centered, right? Everything about this is Christ-centered. Things that we do is Christ-centered. It isn't about how Fred's feeling today or does this satisfy so-and-so. This is about, does it satisfy and please the Lord? And integrity, to be honest, to be upright, to want to glorify the Lord in our actions, in what we do. And to be good stewards of our finances, good stewards of our building, good stewards of everything that the Lord has given us, good stewards of our time, right? One of the things that we struggle with here, and hopefully we'll get better after this, right? Starting on time. We just need to start on time. Why? It's good stewardship of our time. Right? And to be that them servants. To be them servants. I like that bounce, so I put that bounce in there for you guys. lead others in living for Jesus. And as we went through these, to encourage application and then share Jesus with others. This is what the Lord gave me, and I would challenge you to say this to your own self, you know, but for our church, I think this is the core. The core is to glorify Him. To whatever we do, whatever we put our hand to glorify Him. It can be exciting times, I think. Exciting times. There's a lot of folks out there that need the Lord. Right? And it's our opportunity that they would see us as that city that's on that hill, that they would see us and that we'd be Christ-like and we'd be full of integrity and be good stewards and servants of the Lord, and that we'd be able to lead others to Christ, but also to grow, right? When we talk about growth, helping folks lead biblical life. We're talking about, you know, that's why we do the things that we're doing, right? We're having Karen starting the ladies study, right, up on Tuesdays. We're going to start a men's study in October, right? We're going to do that. There's going to be a Saturday morning men's study from about 7:30 until 9, right? We're going to do that. We're going to start in Proverbs. We're not going to parallel the women, but we're going to start in the first chapter of Proverbs, right? We're going to at least go through the first 9 chapters over them Saturdays, and then we'll see where the Lord leads us from there. And then we're going to do some. We've got the books and everything to do a marriage study. We're going to start that very soon. We just got to get some things settled, and we'll start that. That'll probably be a Friday evening kind of thing, maybe. Maybe Saturday evening, depends. Probably be once a month to start out with, but it'll be fulfilling, right? Why are we doing that? It's to do this, lead others in living for Jesus, right? So then you can take that and you can apply it to your marriage. You can apply it to your walk. You know, the Word is important to us, and we have application. And as we get more and more of the Word in us, this last arrow, this sharing Jesus with others, that's a lot easier than what you give it credit to. But you got to get the Word in you, right? You got to have confidence that the Word's in you. So, I am completely open. You know, I wanted to kind of open this up. I didn't really want to babble too long, but I did. Normally we don't ask questions on Sunday morning, but this morning I don't mind answering questions. You know, if you've got something on your mind about the church, about its functioning, don't get personal on me, but you know, if it's about my hairstyle or anything, you know, but if you do have questions, I would answer them. Do you guys have any questions? Nothing? Clear as a bell? How does it fit in? You know, as the Lord shows you things, how does what the Lord shows you fit into this, you know? And so it gives you at least a start of, and you know, you can certainly, I've got a handout, and you certainly can have it. If you ask me for it, I'll give it to you. It's just got my notes on what the Lord gave me, scriptures that the Lord gave me through it, through all this over the last few months, and you're welcome to.